This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. In the third hour today, we're going to be talking to Dean Reuter. That's Reuter, I guess, R-U-E-T-E-R, The Hidden Nazi. It's a fascinating book and a fascinating read. I've read some of it and not all of it because it's like 400 pages long with all the documents and so on. So anyway, we're going to be talking to him about how the United States hid a very, very ruthless Nazi for years. And why did they do that? Has a lot to do with the space race, believe it or not, in Operation Paperclip. Anyway, with us right now, of course, is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. We've been covering a number of different things here in the last hour. We covered Virginia. We covered some of the impeachment process that's coming up. And, of course, we got a couple hours yet before the impeachment hearing. This is a big day in history. You know, it'll go down in history, 1-21-20, as a date in which the trial to impeach the trial to convict following the impeachment in the House of Donald J. Trump comes to fruition. Now, it's going to be a little bit more interesting than that, even in the sense that we do have a tyranny in the House of Representatives right now. We have a tyrant, and that tyrant, of course, is Nancy Pelosi. We're witnessing what the founding fathers feared the most about impeachment play out right before our very eyes. And of course, there's nothing to stop them from re-impeaching Donald Trump again and again and again and again. They could probably re-impeach him a couple of times before the election. And this is the first time a president has ever been impeached in an election year. And, of course, you can see that the Democrats are desperate. That's really what this comes down to, is desperation. Dave did a great job in the last hour talking about this interview that he had with Alexandra Daly. The article is Alexandra Daly and Dave Hodges blow the lid off the Ukrainian corruption and top Democratic involvement. And Dave did a great job in the last hour. We brought him back, of course, for the second hour to kind of explain himself in even more detail about this. And even some of the things that go into the 9/11 cover-up. So, Dave, let's go ahead and take off on the 9/11 cover-up, because I think this is a very, very interesting set of circumstances. You briefly touched upon it, and the Kofor Black connection.
Well, you know, you go back to Kofor Black, and so we got him on the board of directors for Burisma. I mean, that's the sine qua non of corruption without any other evidence. And then we take him back further to 2012 when he was Mitt Romney's national security advisor for his presidential campaign. And we'll go back another decade to when he was in charge of intel that was gathered regarding the coming attacks of 9/11. In fact, he facilitated, as I said last hour, the starting of the passports for the 19 Saudis that hijacked the four planes. And then Brennan completed the job. John Brennan, as we said so last hour.
Let's pause for a second, because I know people are going, wait a minute, what? because when you were talking to me about this, I was going, oh, well, it makes a lot of sense. But people haven't been engaged as much as you and I. okay, so this guy, Kofor Black, actually worked for Mitt Romney, right? As late as 2012.
Yeah, and when you go back to 9/11, there was actually a name for what they were doing here. It was called Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
And it was Blue Sky was a project, yeah. And Alexander and I are going to explore that in a little more detail tonight on this Blue Sky situation. But to me, there's clear evidence that he had intel that the 9/11 attacks were coming. And people say, oh, I haven't heard that. Well, figure out why the Israelis had their people not go to the Twin Towers that morning.
Right.
They knew. So did Kofor Black.
Well, and you know, the thing is that Kofor Black, what, some 9 years later, is 11 years later, is working for Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mitt Romney, you know, the same Mitt Romney who's going to be presiding, going to be a jurist in the trial for Donald Trump. That guy, yeah, that guy, and he parades around as a Republican when, of course, he's not a Republican. If you know what I mean.
There's something interesting about Mitt Romney and the backgrounds he chooses to campaign in, and I researched this extensively because he's gone after Trump and kind of insinuated bad things happen to bad people. And so I'm looking at the background the first time he did this. And in the background was something called the Hinckley Institute. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, that's too much of a coincidence. But it was actually the Hinckley family. John Hinckley, the assassin of Ronald Reagan, right, who shot Reagan, almost took his life. And I thought, okay, that's just a coincidence. But then I went and researched, and nowhere could I find he ever did any campaigning for president or the Senate with that as a backdrop moniker. And then he did it again in the same time frame when James Comey had a concoction of Star Wars toys in depicting Dealey Plaza in a New York Times interview where they took a picture in his living room. And I'm thinking, who the hell does that? And then you had Nancy Pelosi in the necklace with bullets. And then you have Brennan and McFarlane on C-SPAN 2, where McFarlane says, yeah, there's an interagency plot to take out Donald Trump. And Brennan goes, thank God for the deep state. How they both weren't arrested, I don't know. This is all going on in the same backdrop. So then I found a second instance when Mitt Romney came out with really threatening things towards the president in that same time frame, and it was in front of the Hinckley Institute moniker. And I know this sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory, but I can't find anywhere where he ever made an appearance like that before. And even if he did, it's so rare, I think it's interesting he chose to deliver threats against the president in the backdrop of the family who had a family member that shot Ronald Reagan.
And he's connected to Kofor Black.
Oh, big time, yeah. And Kofor Black, if he's responsible for 3,000 deaths in the Twin Towers, I think it ought to be a case of Kofor fade to black. He should be tried for treason and executed.
Well, now this guy, Kofor Black, let's go back here. Kofor Black was working as an ambassador?
He's done that, yes.
And that was where?
An ambassador at large.
At large.
At large.
So he finds himself in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds himself in Saudi Arabia and he issues the visas to those 19.
He started the process.
He started the process.
Brennan came in as his successor and did the deed. And if I remember correctly here, and okay, this is something that Alexander had knowledge on that I didn't. And if I remember what she said, because remember, this is 50 minutes of intensity late last night. A guy named Greg Ford was the source for this. And I can't remember for the life of me what Greg Ford was associated with. But she described it as someone who couldn't live with this knowledge. It was really bad and wanted to expose it. And but, yeah, Brennan and Kofor Black put the Muslims here on American soil that hijacked those planes for 9/11.
Well, we know the dots with John Brennan and the Saudi government. And it's interesting that whole in that time frame, starting approximately in 96 to, you know, 2000-2001, which is really, I think, the time frame you're talking about there. That was also the time frame in which Uma Abedin comes along and connects with Hillary Clinton.
Well, Uma's parents, I think mostly female sides of the family, are in the female equivalent of the Muslim Brotherhood, if memory serves me correctly. Yeah, is that right?
Her dad was president of the Muslim Brotherhood at the time.
True. Yeah, I mean, and then she marries a U.S. congressman.
Right.
They had for safekeeping their dead man switch with some of Hillary Clinton's national security violation emails. Do you remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And that was their dead man switch that kept them both alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just, boy, the coincidences never stop.
They just never do. They never do. So, and again, the Hillary Clinton thing is yet to play out, in my opinion. It's not going to play out until Trump wins re-election. I think that's the time frame for her. So,
if anybody has expectations
that she's going to be busted now. The road
it's not going to play out. It's not going to play out.
Well, whatever is going to play out.
No. Let me tell you why. She became the president of an Irish university.
Right.
Okay. Well, hold on. This grants her resident status.
Right.
And if she is in Ireland, she can't be extradited.
Right. But the investigation is still going on. And now this is one of the things that my understanding is that she has been very helpful, especially recently in this whole situation in Iran, in which this Ukrainian plane was brought down. And some background information was provided, I understand, from Hillary Clinton and her folks to the Trump administration. I wonder why.
That's a piece of information I don't have. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be devil's advocate just here for a second, so let me have you pull these together. If memory serves me, I believe that in the campaign of 2016, people like ourselves came out, and she had, from the Clinton Foundation, 16 quid pro quo gun deals for cash, pay to play. And she was heavily into arms trafficking with the Clinton Foundation. And I told someone just the other day, in fact, it was Daniel Ott, a broadcaster out of Indiana. And I told Daniel, I said, I really think they're going to link Ukraine to Hillary. Now, maybe from what you're saying, that's not true. What do you think?
No, I think that's very true. I think that it just seems to me, and I got my mind, my people, and what was being delivered to me, that she had something to do with uranium. And, in fact, there were two people on board that plane from the Ukraine that were actually attending college, I believe, in San Diego, that were actually part of the problem in terms of delivering information about uranium to various sources in Iran. Right.
Hmm.
And they were on board that plane. And, of course, the plane was shot down.
This is speculation. But I had someone from the FBI tell me Dave, if I were you and I was looking into this plane thing, you know that Zelensky promised Trump he would launch investigations into the illegal arms dealings.
Right.
And the person suggested to me, you might want to look at the manifest and see if there couldn't have been a Ukrainian investigator or prosecutor on board that plane. And I'll tell you what really got my attention. At one point in time on the passenger manifest, which has been very obscure, they listed 168 passengers, and somehow it got reduced to 167.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
And I wonder if somewhere in there that missing person is the one they don't want you to know about.
Well, you know, there was a similar situation. You may recall the boat that was blown up, so to speak, off of Santa Cruz Island in Southern California. Oh.
Yeah.
And they had a similar situation there where somebody was, there were some people that were brought in that actually were thinking they were going to go on a vacation and do a dive thing, and it ended up being a target. They were supposed to have been in attendance with another individual, and that individual suddenly, just at the last minute, didn't turn up to go on the boat. Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
We're not the only ones that receive tips.
No.
I know.
I guess not, you know. And that boat, of course, was it exploded in the middle of the night under very unusual circumstances. Of course, there's no evidence to indicate anything wrong. But, you know, of course, our sources, I think, are pretty impeccable about what happened on that boat. But it's interesting that when you see a manifest, it's supposed to be 168 and it comes back 167. And the same thing holds true in other situations. That's called a tell, I think, in the underworld. A clue.
Yeah, I know. I have a Navy pilot who did crash retrieval wreckage analysis, and he saw the first pictures of that crashed airliner. And this is when everyone said, oh, it was just a tragic accident, blah, 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 and all the mainstream media was defending that view. He said, bull crap, Dave. He says, I can tell you right now, it's not a normal debris field. Right. That plane was shot down. And sure enough, he was right.
Well, and the other part of that, my sources say the plane was shot down from an air-to-air missile. Mm. And if you take a look at the one video, you see the streak of light from the missile. The streak of light is going horizontal, not vertical to horizontal. It's going horizontal before there's an explosion that you see that pops by the plane. But that's just, you know, we learned that the Ukrainian situation back in 2014, remember that Malaysian airliner number 17 was shot down, and everybody said that was from a ground-to-air missile, and that ended up being, of course, an air-to-air missile. Similar to situation that, in fact, I was talking to some people at the time. I said, this sounds just like exactly what happened in 2014. They said, well, do you think they'd change the tactic? And of course, they said it was the Russians who did it. And in the reality check, we actually broke the story. It was not the Russians. It was the Ukrainians themselves who did it. And the evidence was in the videotape that they showed where the Russians were celebrating. Well, our people did a check on the videotape, and the videotape was produced the day before the incident, which is interesting. How do you produce the videotape before the incident, right?
You're clairvoyant.
Yeah,
that's pretty good technology that you can do that. I didn't know we mastered time travel yet.
Well, the thing about that, of course, is that's where all the hands of John Brennan were at work at that time in Ukraine, too. So this Brennan guy just kind of shows up all over the place. That's why I was kind of curious about the Kofor Black thing. Kofor Black initiates the 9/11, the 19 conspirators, and then John Brennan finishes the deal with these guys. And again, was there any idea about what year John Brennan was actually finishing that deal? Because I know he was there in 96. That's when he converted from being a Jesuit to in Islam. So what year was that? It had to have been between 96 and 99, I'm thinking, because these guys were over here for a couple
years. I think
Alexander
said 99, but you know what? Out of the 100 facts that she threw on me last night, I'm not sure I remember the exact detail. And I haven't had a chance to go back and listen to that interview again. I mean, I went in there thinking I had pretty good knowledge of Burisma and all these chicanery that went on. And she tells me we have only scratched the surface. That's a good question. I think we'll probably get into it in tonight's broadcast, which we're tentatively going to air at 9 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 on the East Coast. And it's going to I think some raise some eyeballs. I got to tell you, Paul, I never thought the corruption was so endemic that we're seeing, yeah, and so deep. And it's just a way of life to these people, and they're so arrogant about it. They've gotten away with it so long now. It's almost like they don't even care if they're implicated.
No, they're really just really openly corrupt. You can't put it any other way, and that's the way it's going on in California with the legislature all the way across the board. And you know, they're out and proud about being so corrupt. I'm not too sure that's a safe position to be around with people like Bill Barr and John Durham running around looking into these kind of things. But I want to just quickly again, if you take a look at John Brennan and his activities, let's fast forward. You had 9/11 2001, and then you fast forward 9/11 2012, and you had the whole thing going on there, and now we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together there that actually in August of 2012, the California Military Reserve shows up in Tripoli, and 40 of them were deployed to Niger at that time, 40 of them. But also you had doing cleanup duty in and around Benghazi for weapons. And those weapons ultimately were released or actually put on cargo ships, containerized ships, 800 tons, and then sent to Turkey. And then 9/11 happened. And then after that, it was Petraeus who took the fall for that. Then suddenly John Brennan in 2013, actually 2012-13, picks up the mantle of CIA director, and he goes off to the Ukraine, and his first operation is to overthrow the president there, who was leaning to the Russian side, and we brought in all of his little Nazi buddies to do that. And then finally, Zelensky gets elected, and what happened with him? Of course, he really was legitimately elected. They elect a comedian because they think he's honest, an honest comedian. And which is kind of interesting. And he turns out that he's an honest guy trying to do the right thing. And that's the reason, in my opinion, obviously, and you brought this out, that Trump had a right, a responsibility, a duty to actually make sure there was no corruption that was left over from all that strand of Brennanite business going on. But then bring in 2012 or 13, and it was really at the end of 2012, early 13, all of a sudden, you start seeing these parties being thrown for Adam Schiff by Igor Pasternak. Now, let's go back before even Benghazi. It was Igor Pasternak who was arranging all those arms shipments, many of them that were emanating out of gutter, which found their way to Benghazi, which found its way to, of course, Turkey. This is so open a case here. It's not even funny. And they're trying to reverse this now and blame Trump for all this for some reason. And again, that's the escape hatch that they've got. The facts, though, follow. I don't see how they're going to be able to overcome the facts of all this information that we now know to be true. And again, I'm just reporting stuff we were reporting in 2013, 14, 15, and 16. This is even now we're reporting the same information. I don't see them being able to overcome that. I just don't. It comes in the hearing.
If Trump survives into the second term, yes, I tend to agree. People are going to have to turn a deaf ear. I got to tell you, Q really did a good job for the deep state, in my humble opinion.
Right.
There's going to be 65,000 indictments tomorrow. Oh, well, we can go back to sleep now. Everything's good. And, oh, no, there's going to be 150,000 in a month. It's growing, so be patient. And how long did we go on with that nonsense to where there wasn't even one indictment?
Right. Dave, we got to take the break at the bottom of the hour here. Listening to Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show with us here on Agenda 21 Radio, we're kind of blowing the lid off a lot of things. He's got a great story coming up. Even tonight, 8 o'clock on Central Time, the Common Sense Show, live interview with Alexandra Daly. It's going to be the third one. And we're going to be talking about the Ukrainian corruption and top Democratic involvement. I hate it when this happens. We'll be back.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, and those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking with Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we've got a lot of things to cover. We've been covering a lot of territory, talking about the Ukraine, talking about the situation with John Brennan, and also an advisor to Mitt Romney, Kofor Black, who, by the way, was kind of instrumental in starting the process as an ambassador at large to start the process to get the visas for the 19 terrorists involved with 9/11. And that was followed up by, guess who? John Brennan. This goes back to the late 90s, before, obviously, 2001, September 11th. So this is an interesting thing. But remember, it was Kofor Black who became the one of the advisors, chief advisor, actually, for Mitt Romney in his 2012 presidential run. You know, we're just connecting dots is really what's happening. And there's a lot more to come, and Dave has been so gracious to be with us the last hour and a half. to explain so much, because you know we want to get into the details, we want to get into some of the weeds, because we start going through the weeds, then the animals start to pop up, and we're starting to see that. So, Dave, as we get into this whole thing, this whole exposure, if you will, of the Ukraine, where do you think it's going to go next?
The rumors I get, and I think they're more than rumors, but it's what you know and what you can prove are sometimes two different things in a given moment in time. But I am of the belief that Iran does have tactical nuclear weapons, theater limited, but tactical nukes to defend their interests in the Strait of Hormuz and their shorelines from amphibious invasion. And I believe Russia was a party to this. I believe those weapons went from Seneca on behalf of Burisma to Estonia and Latvia, and then shipped via those countries to Iran. And I also believe there was a second circuitous route that followed, because Hunter Biden's tied to Seneca's interest in China. And I believe the Chinese have gone to fund Iran too and supply weapons. Now, can I say for certain in a court of law, raising my right hand, that they have tactical nukes? No. But the rumors are so persistent. Right. But one thing I can say for certain is arms shipments did come out of China to Iran. We know the Chinese have a military presence there. And we also know for a fact that they came out of Estonia and Latvia. The question is, the only debate is, how serious are these weapons? Are they tactical nukes? Are they dirty bombs? Are they conventional military? I can't say I can prove any of those at this time, except we know weapon shipments took place.
Well, and you know, here's the other thing that is of concern to a lot of people, and it's coming out more and more and more to me from various sources, is that when you mention Estonia and Latvia, you know, there's also Georgia, and then there's Ukraine, and then there's of course Libya and other places that when you connect the dots to certain organizations like the California Military Reserve, you find out, gee, they've been there. They've been what have they been doing? And of course, the big one is what was going on in August of 2012 in Tripoli, which is right there in the theater of Benghazi, which just at the very beginning of Benghazi, on the 11th of September, you have the attack at the ambassador's residence, and of course, kills the ambassador. That was a big tragedy, but, where was the California Military Reserve and why were they there? First of all, why were they there? They're not even a military. They're an extension of the California state government. Another question is, why were 40 of these individuals, whoever they are, were dispatched at the orders of Jerry Brown to go to Nigeria or Niger? I mean, what's a governor doing dispatching a military on foreign soil?
Doing work for the globalists and using his private army to do it?
Shocking. Shocking you'd say that. I want to go back to...
Don't ask me a question if you don't want me to answer.
I know. I want to go back for a clarifier, because I got a little text message here from one of the listeners out there. They say, what is Seneca?
Yeah, Seneca... Well, there's two types. There's Seneca LLC, which is a, it's kind of like Zapata Oil of the 60s with H.W. Bush. It's a shell corporation designed to conceal identities. And Rosemont Seneca is another leg of the same avenues. And they were ostensibly both created to obscure the identities of the Bidens, the Kerrys, the Hines, and so forth, and their involvement in these arms deals. So they conducted these arms deals through these shell corporations rather than going directly through Burisma, because there was too many links to the prominent families in Burisma.
Right, right. I hope that explains it to you. It's a technique that's usually they learn it at the farm to form these shell corporations. And, one of the shell corporations, or one of the corporations that they've done, of course, this shell game of corporations, if you will, has been out here in California with the California Air Resources Board and the California Coastal Commission and the Cal EPA. They're all corporations working with the state government. Now, it's kind of interesting the way this has all been brought about in California. AB 32, some people remember that, was the precursor to the California Air Resources Board. Or actually, CARB has been around for a while, but the the prop or AB-32 under Schwarzenegger, of all people, of course, really gave it some teeth. But it is a corporation that's set up as a shell corporation to protect everybody involved with the CARB organization. And they have a board of directors. And, of course, the key thing, the operational part of it, Dave, is that this corporation for the California Air Resources Board, the single most destructive element of enterprise and business in California, I might add, and dominated by Mary Nichols. And Mary Nichols, of course, has been with the Clintons. She started out with the Clinton and the EPA and then came to Cal EPA and then came to CARB. She is the dominatrix, if you will. The point, though, about the corporation, it's a corporation out of Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, who's on that board, we've been told? Hunter Biden.
Oh. Another coincidence. But he's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy out here in California with the California Air Resources Board. So that's why the Seneca question is so important to see. Because ladies and gentlemen, there's other Senecas out there. There's other, corporations that are hiding these people and hiding their behavior. And that, of course, is what I think was one of the things that brought up Leland Yee and some other things. There were some corporations that were involved there. And I think I read about them. We brought them to the air. I just can't remember which ones they were.
The Democrats ought to be thanking Mitch McConnell because he limited both sides to 2 days of witness calling.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, Hunter Biden would take 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's protecting a lot of these criminals in the Senate. And I know that's why he did it. He issued a warning a week or so ago, and he told the Democrats, be careful what you ask for, because the deeper we get into this, some of you might not like what comes out. That was a direct threat to you're a criminal and don't want it exposed.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said to them, even to the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I look at the resistant Republicans as being complicit. We've already covered Mitt Romney.
Right.
But Lamar Alexander, I suspect him. I suspect Collins, Murkowski, all the stubborn Republicans, the ones that sound more like Democrats, I think they have a lot to hide.
Yeah, Murkowski in particular. A lot to hide there.
Lives in Russia's neighborhood.
That's right. You can see it from Sarah Palin's house.
Yeah.
That was an interesting comment that one of my listeners made in a text to me about the, I said, you can see Russia from Sarah Palin's house there, because she was talking about Murkowski and the thing that goes on with Murkowski. So
I just got sent something, Paul. You're going to laugh at this. This is breaking news. I just got sent something. Bernie Sanders wants to mend fences with Elizabeth Warren. So he's invited her over to his teepee. I'm looking at this email right now, but they are meeting to discuss this, and it's called the TP conference. And there's a bigger message here. We look for leaders that have composure under pressure, who can handle the stress of an extreme situation, and like John Kennedy did in the Cuban Missile Crisis, render a sound decision. And here comes Elizabeth Warren and can't contain herself about some slight that Bernie Sanders supposedly said. Wouldn't that be a backstage thing? She just demonstrated right there. She'll go hysterical in the midst of any crisis.
Yeah, and she did on stage. I mean, that whole thing where she was confronting him was just appalling. It was absolutely appalling. I thought it was, totally. You're right. You just don't behave that way. And it's something such as, you called me a liar on national TV? That's childish. That's absolutely childish.
And they're doing a presidential debate. And that debate was just, I watched 15 minutes and I said, if I don't turn this off, I'm going to fall asleep and I got work to do.
It was
that bad.
Yeah. It's interesting, Dave. All these truths now that, we've been hammered for years about as conspiracy theorists and so on. No one's calling us that anymore. Which is kind of interesting, because it's all starting to come out now, even more so than ever before. And I think that after this trial thing is over with, you're going to see an explosion of information coming out about people all throughout the states, like here in California in particular, But, you know, you got people that have been bad operators in Texas and Florida, New York in particular, of course. These people are all going to be on the run. It looks like Hillary's already got herself set up in Ireland. You know,
yeah, she became a president of the university there. It gives her resident status, and they can't extradite her.
Yeah. So I guess the other question is, where's Obama going to go? Because he's all wrapped up in this, you know that.
He was allegedly looking for a safe haven in the Pacific Rim, and I don't remember the details now, but this was when the Fusion GPS story broke and the FISA abuse, and Obama was linked to it, and he was looking for a safe haven then. I don't remember what came of that.
I think it was French Indonesia.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's right.
I find it very interesting that he goes to Bali and places like that. If you go to Bali or Indonesia, you can't escape the influence of the Nazis there. Amazing comment. But
Ukraine,
if you study
too.
The rat line and you study all these places where all the Nazis went, Indonesia was a favorite place, and French Indonesia was a very favorite place. And, of course, if you believe what Peter Lavenda said in his book called The Rat Line, who died in Indonesia? That was Adolf Hitler in 1970. And that's that. And again, I think the story has been completely debunked, the story about him dying in the bunker. There's way too much evidence now. A lot of that evidence, of course, came out from J. Edgar Hoover, which Peter Lavenda lapped onto. He got some of the first look at that information. It was able to tie it together with a whole bunch of other witnesses. The evidence is very, very strong. And, of course, if you take a look at what the History Channel did in their series called Hunting Hitler, that's absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, from my research. Now, keep in mind, I went to East Germany and was actually stood on the bunker, the Führer bunker itself, and interviewed the people that were there. Talking about this, one of them was Christoph Neubauer, who's featured big time in the History Channel's information about Hitler. It's very convincing evidence that he did survive it. They say that he died in Argentina, but the reality check from Lavenda and others points to he died in Indonesia. They say he died in Argentina. I don't believe that, but Lavenda says he died in Indonesia, which is pretty much confirmed by numerous witnesses that were interviewed.
What do you think of the Nazis' rumor that they have a base in Antarctica?
Well, I think there's something to that. I'm not a big Antarctica Nazi kind of guy. I'm more concerned with what happened with the Nazis that were left behind that are actually, and we know now, planning this so-called invasion of the United States, which is what we're seeing right now with all these caravans. This has been a very, very well thought out for years plan, and nothing comes together just all of a sudden. This whole process of opening up our southern borders without any kind of protection has been a plan that's very, very well seated. Obama was, of course, very adept at making sure that came about, and of course, opening up our immigration system to everybody around the world. That's the way you change a country, as you know. That's a theory that's espoused by a lot of invaders, such as radicalized Islamists.
It just never ends. But, you know, my friend Jim Mars, the late Jim Mars, told me once on my show, he said, Dave, he said, the Nazis actually won World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We destroyed their army, but they survived. And if you look at it, they ran NASA. They set up the East German Stasi equivalent called DHS. Remember that with Marcus Wolf? Paid him $5 million to do it. Jim had a lot of good points with this. And he was kind of an Antarctica guy, too, which is why I had to ask you the question. But you know what's interesting, too, is in the lame duck period in late December, John Kerry and some other world leaders, they went to Antarctica. I kid you not, that was actually reported.
And the reasons why?
Don't know. I don't think they say we're doing New World Order planning here, but that's what I would assume. Yeah.
Research on penguins.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway, that's an interesting theory. The other thing, too, is the technology transfer. And, of course, that's what we're going to be talking about with Dean Reuter, the hidden Nazi, is the technology transfer. Now, I want to get into this as sort of a warm-up for his book, and his information is going to come out in the third hour here. But your father was pretty much a researcher and passed on a lot of information about even deep state operations to you.
Yeah, his last duty was to solidify. He was involved in the initial placement of nuclear weapons on the Carrier Roosevelt, which was the first ship in the Navy to get nukes. And then they brought him back in there to solidify some things in the Combat Information Center. And then they retired him 6 months early. And interesting, and they sent him to Littleton, Colorado, suburb south of Denver, to work at the Martin Marietta plant, now Lockheed Martin in Coal Creek Canyon. And it just so happened that he worked with captured German scientists. Now, he spoke German, and he had a pretty good background. He was an electrical and mechanical engineer and had a good working knowledge of theoretical physics of the day. And they were reverse engineering on paper what the Nazis said that they were able to do. And then they went from there to laboratory stuff, and he actually was brought in to review some of the applications to the lab models. They'd be like vertical takeoff craft, for example, what people today, if they saw it, would say was a UFO. We were actually working on that design back in the early 60s as a result of this work. But yeah, my dad worked with the captured German scientists. They actually had a Russian in the group too. And in the last 2 years of his life, in 1984 and 85, I used to visit him a lot. He lived about a mile away from me. So I'd pop in, you know, once a day to see him. And he started opening up about what he did. And he said, "You can't talk about this until we're both gone," meaning my mother and him, because it was covered for national security reasons until 2015. And then 2015 came and went, and I started to talk about it a little bit. But there are other people out there, actually, speaking of Jim Mars. Before I knew Jim really well, I had confided in a friend of mine named Bill Pollack, who was ex-CIA, and about the space program. Bill actually worked with my dad, my dad's last job at Sunstrand Electric, on high-tech, top-secret surveillance satellites. And Bill and I became friends, and I confided in what my dad did because I knew it wouldn't go public. Well, he introduced me to Vance Davis of the NSA, who knew all about this. Right. And Vance actually broke the story on Art Bell's radio show, Coast to Coast. So, yeah, there's a lot to this. And I'll be interested to see what your guest says in the third hour, because we did vertical takeoff with craft. They actually worked on theoretical physics for Stargate kind of teleportation. And I don't mean from planet to planet, but I'm talking about across laboratories and so forth, teleporting an object maybe 100 feet across a laboratory. And they worked on all that. And it'll be interesting to see what your guest says about this.
Well, he's it's going to be an interesting interview, and I look forward to the, you know, anytime that some of this information kind of creeps forward, because a lot of this information has been suppressed over years. I know that my situation, when I really heard about Peter Lavenda and his book called The Rat Line and all the information that was on there about The Rat Line, was that you know, basically, I had gone and, you know, I researched the collapse of communism, and part of the research for the collapse of communism was to understand what Adolf Hitler had, what had happened to him, the whole nine yards. So it took me to Berlin, East Germany. And again, the wall had fallen, so we were free to walk around out in areas such as the no man's land by the Brandenburg Gate there. And that's where, of course, the bunker system, the huge, huge, massive bunker complex was underground in the that whole no man's land going west from the Brandenburg Gate. And when I found it, I had to really look for it. It took a long time to find it, even though it was out in the middle of nowhere. They had blocked it off with chunks of the Berlin Wall so that people wouldn't see it. And mm-hmm. So I finally crawled literally through a gaping hole in the wall, and found myself out on the the whole vacant area. And there was one guy standing on a mound with a black T-shirt on and Levi's and a white hat, or a black hat, too. And that was Christoph Neubauer, and he was standing actually at the entrance of the Führer bunker. And we talked for about 3 hours, and he, in the interview at the very end, I asked him, where is the so-called location where Hitler's body was found? And he said, "Well, they say it's over here by this building in the playground." And I started to walk away, and he says, "But you know, after we talked here," he says, "you know Hitler escaped. He made it out. He didn't die." And, of course, with that, of course, came the series of the book. But I was listening to Art Bell, and he had Peter Lavenda on the radio, and I was late at night, and I decided to turn in, and I was listening to the radio. And as I listened to Peter Lavenda, all of a sudden I started to hear the words of Christoph Neubauer, and I sat up in my bed and I go, wait a minute, what am I listening to here? And Peter Lavenda was breaking the story about how the real documentation, the real evidence for Adolf Hitler, he had acquired, and he wrote the book with it. And, of course, much threat to his life, I might add. But he did put the book out. He published it. It was all the research and information that came from J. Edgar Hoover. And, of course, I called him on the phone right there about 2 o'clock, little after 2 o'clock in the morning, and we actually connected. And I had him on my show the very next day. But very revealing about how this whole network, the rat line, and, all, of course, all the Nazis had escaped. But there was all those Nazis that got involved with the research into missile technology, which, of course, your dad was engaged with some of the former prisoners. And Operation Paperclip came about. It gave us the space race. It gave us so many other things. And in the interview today with Dean Ritter and the hit Nazi, he's going to be talking about one of the worst offenders, the most vicious and vile of the offenders that were picked up in Operation Paperclip and how that all transpired. It's interesting to hear this evidence now coming forward. It's 2020. You know, and we're finally getting this information out. And I know that your dad had just massive amounts of information about the people that he worked with that were involved with Operation Paperclip. He knew how extensive this ran through the course of our country. And, of course, now it's the deep state within our country that's operating.
I'll tell you, the biggest takeaway in today's world about my dad's work, and this is kind of like state-specific now, but my dad said the technology they worked on all these years – it never went to NASA. And he says, oh, then we must have a secret space program. He surmised that because of where the data didn't and the technology did not go. And this is why people are kind of like fooled. Trump says he just started the Space Command. Sorry, Donald. That started in 1947, formalized in 1952 under Eisenhower. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been around forever. All they're doing now is taking out a black budget funding because Trump wants to do more with it and he needs more money. So that's why he needs Congress's funding. And that's why the space program, secret space program, now called the Space Command, that's why it's public.
But the other part of it is now he has some control over it.
Well, he's gotten rid of a lot of the Air Force influence. You remember, the Air Force and the CIA were both created along with the NSA in 1947.
47, right.
So those were ancestral developments together, and they overlapped, and they dominated the secret space program, and Trump has managed to wrestle control of that away.
Well, you know, people don't understand how seminal 1947 was, because when the CIA really came out from the Army Signal Corps, this is their evolution, the Army Signal Corps and RCA Victor. And it's an interesting connection there with whose family members, the Cruz family members, actually were part of that group that came to communist, well, came to Cuba and teamed up with the Castro family. But anyway, that gave rise to the OSS. Mm-hmm. And the OSS was operational during World War II. And after World War II, when they had Operation Paperclip, they seized a lot of these Nazis to come on board and actually join up. And that was what ultimately led to the CIA by 1947 and the Air Force by 1947.
That's
People
exactly
don't know
right.
that history. Anyway, Dave, we got to run for time. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
TheCommonSenseShow.com is the website, and YouTube by the same name. Catch us there. Those are two of the venues among many.
And we have up on Agenda 21 Radio, of course, your interview from last night. We'll look forward to the one tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific and 9 o'clock Central.
Sounds terrific, Paul. Thanks.
Awesome, Dave. Okay, so that was Dave Hodges here on Agenda 21 Radio. We got to run for time right now. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We're sponsored by Aram Solar. If you want to make sure you have energy for your household, you need a generator when the power is shut off. And you know the government's going to shut our power off again. That's just the way they behave. That number is 866-676-5276, Aram Solar. And thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We've got a lot of things coming up here on Agenda 21 Radio. And remember, stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.